A while back, maybe a year or two, I was talking to one of my best friends in the area, Lynn Pate, and we were talking about speaking at church and serving God's people, and so we share things, how we can help each other. And one thing Lynn said to me is, tell more stories. And so, Lynn, I'm telling a story again today. And this is one that I've told before, but it has special meaning and timing for today. And so I want to tell it again and maybe add some additional details. A long time ago, it was actually 60 years ago, I knew a man who was a very good encourager of everyone around him. I believe his name was Paul. I know his last name, but I won't say it now. I believe his first name was Paul. He was maybe 20 years older than me, and he was someone who was so very special in helping in the church area where we were. Paul did things to help other people when they really needed help. He did a lot of things, and most of them probably in the background, and most of us probably not even aware of the things that he did. But he did some things for my family and really was a great help to us. Paul didn't want to miss being at Sabbath services. It was so very important for him to attend, to be there, to have fellowship, to worship together. It was one of the things that was a big priority in his life, and he rarely missed being at church on a Sabbath. He was a bachelor at the time, and in a sense, he had a time to do more things than perhaps a husband or father might have had at the time. We have one similar in this area here as well, in that time of life for himself. He was a very special man in the way that he encouraged my family to attend Sabbath services. The way he did this is something that's very important. He didn't just tell us to attend. He didn't just encourage us with words. He actually made a difference for us. We didn't have a car. We lived in the country about 50 miles from where services were being held. We lived near Shreveport, Louisiana, between there and Texarkana, Texas. And one of our ladies was growing up in that same area nearby. And in 1963, my father had just come back from the military. He retired, and we were in a very difficult situation, which I'll leave for another time. But there were nine of us. There were seven children, and my father and my mother, 50 miles from church and no way to get there, except for this friend who came and picked us up and drove us to church and did this over and over again, many Sabbaths for months, and we were so grateful for that. In his 1954 Chevy four-door sedan, no seat belts, nine of us and him, that's 10 people, crowded into this little car. And by the way, at that time, my dad and my mom were not petite. So it was kind of crowded, but there we were, and it was exciting to go. He actually lived only 30 miles from church, and we were 50 miles from church. So he would drive to pick us up, and then he would drive back and pass his town and keep going to Shreveport so we would be able to be there for Sabbath service. And then he'd bring us home. He took us out to dinners. He made sure that we had time to fellowship and worship. It was such a very important time for the children in my family. He knew that we needed to go to church, and he helped to make that possible for us. Look forward from 1963 to now, 60 years later, and what's the result? Partially due to what he did for us. Five of those seven children are still faithful members, attending the Sabbath services, going to the feast in the Church of God, in two different fellowships. Very important work that was done 60 years ago. The other two, my little sister is sick, and my youngest brother chose a different way. But five of us who were helped by that man are still attending Sabbath services. This leads into the very important thing I want to talk to you about today. Brethren, God exhorts us to do just what that friend did to my family and for my family, to go to church, to assemble together before him to worship and to fellowship. The last four feasts of the Lord for this year are coming up soon, beginning in just 3 weeks from today, the Feast of Trumpets. And I want to encourage us all to attend. And I'm speaking to people who are here today, and I'm speaking knowing that you will. And so I want to read some verses from the scripture, and sometimes when we read these, they come out a little corrective. They come out with admonishment, and that's not at all the direction I want to go today. I want to stay on the side of encouraging and being helpful and seeing the results of that in the lives of people. I want to do this by reading in the book of Hebrews. We've been there most of this year, looking at lessons we can learn. And this is one that's been on my mind, and I mentioned I was working with the things to prepare for the Feast of Tabernacles coming up this week. And as I was working with those things and thanking God for the blessings of the open doors he's providing for us and all the helpers who are there to help make this possible for everyone who wants to go, lying in bed at night and thinking, what can I speak about this Sabbath day? And I kept coming back to this verse, this passage here in Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25. It says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, so and so much the more as you see the day approaching." I took from that the title for the message today, exhorting one another so much the more. And that is my focus, not just for today, but for, I would say, for my ministry. For the last 25, 26 years I've been serving. This is a key passage for the message today, and it's concise and it's clear, and there's quite a lot of information compressed into this one inspired sentence. We could look at this from a corrective perspective, as I said, that's certainly there. It says there, verse 25, as is the manner of some. There are some who neglect these things. Well, you know what? They're probably not here today. And they may not be listening online then, so I'm not really talking to them. I'm talking to you who are here and praising you and thanking you, acknowledging for the things that you do, because there's so much good. Sometimes sermons are given expounding on this word exhort as though it is corrective and admonishment. And perhaps it can be and should be, and some people might need that message, but let's leave it for them for another time. So let's take some time today to probe a little deeper into this passage of Scripture. Just like to make some points and just take our time as we go through this. In verse 24, it says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." That's what God wants to happen, that we would stir up love and good works, that we would help others to love us and we would love them. but more importantly, that we all would love God, to stir up love and good works toward God and toward Jesus Christ and toward his people, to help one another to be strong in spiritual ways, to help each other to be strong in our faith. This is stirring up love and good works, to stir them up and ourselves too. It's a mutual thing. You know, I look back and I realize, though I didn't know him well as a person, this man who helped my family, I wish I could have spent some time as an adult to really get to know him, but he really helped us in that way. And he stirred up something in the young boy's heart and soul that still is there 60 years later. There are things that we can do to help others, to do good for them, to stir up love and good works, so that our good works help them to do good works for other people too. And even more, it's our interactions with each other that could help stir this love toward God and direct our hearts to him. You know, when someone helped me and my family to attend, he was helping us to be there when messages were given. And maybe they just floated in the air around me, but sometimes there were words and sometimes there were connections that struck and were written on my heart. And every time we attend, we're able to pick up things that God wants us to know and hear and believe and hold to. But brethren, we know it takes more than the words we speak to help others to this degree. It helps doing something to stir them up with our love and with our good works to help them. Jesus spoke of this kind of help that one another, that we can give to one another. And he said in Matthew 5 and verse 16, and most of the time, I'm just going to be here in Hebrews, but I want to turn to a few passages in other verses to build these points and strengthen them in our hearts. In Matthew 5, 16, Jesus was saying, among other things in this Sermon on the Mount, he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And so, if we're stirring up love and good works, we're setting an example of doing the good works that help other people to glorify God. And sometimes it takes a generation, 50 years, even 60 years, for these things to really become the focus of what was done back then to help us. Our examples, brethren, help each other to be stirred up in these wonderful and positive ways. Paul, who drove my family, was putting this verse into action, that his example, his light that was shining from him, would the good works he was doing help me to glorify God, and now to pass that on so you, without even knowing him, you can glorify God for the work that someone did. And these are parts of our life story. And the next verse in Hebrews, verse 25, the next verse helps us to focus on how he did this and how we can do it. And we are doing it here locally. And point that I'd like to make here is this. Let me read verse 25 and then let's take it real slowly and see what it's saying to us. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What does this passage teach us that we can do that can make such a positive difference in someone else's spiritual life? Focus on those things that are showing us what we can do. And we can see some of that here. It says, beginning, not forsaking. And when this book of Hebrews was written, And that first group of people received this letter, began to understand it was about them and their lifestyle and where they lived and the time they lived in and the people they knew, the church where this was delivered. When it was written, some of the church members were feeling the pressures of persecution. This was such an intense time in the Roman Empire in the late 60s AD. And some began to, as it says in one of my reference books, to absent themselves from Christian assemblies. Maybe that happens, but it's here. I just want to acknowledge that as we go by, but I want to show some things that we can do. Because it says assembling ourselves. And again, here we are today, assembling ourselves before our Lord. And this was brought out even in one of the passages in the first message today as well. This word assembling is interesting. In the Greek, it's, I'm going to mispronounce it, but it's episunagoge. It's something that is really interesting if you look at the meaning of this word. It means an assembling together, to be in the presence of one another, of the gatherings of believers on earth during this present period. It's got a preposition with it, this word epi, E-P-I, epi synagogue. It's almost, the synagogue part sounds like synagogue, doesn't it? That's where this word comes from. Epi suggests a place at which the gathering is made. A synagogue at the time when this book was written was a gathering of people together in a place, epi, together. There's a way we could see this in the book of Luke. Hold your place in Hebrew. We'll turn back to Luke chapter 13. Luke 13 and verse 34. And you see how this word is used here. And it kind of gives a little layer of understanding to this. It says, O Jerusalem, this is Jesus Christ, as he's looking at Jerusalem in the time before he was crucified. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together. He wanted to bring them together. He wanted them to come together in an assembly. He says, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, there was a place he wanted them to be near him. And so our assemblies are coming before God. Our assemblies, the Sabbath, is coming before Jesus Christ in worship. And this is part of what he wants in our lives as well. You can read, I'll just mention in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, there's a section there talking about the Passover and how God's people were to keep it there. And he mentions this, and I'm just emphasizing the assembling is a coming together, not scattered out. And I know, brethren, we have people who are online, and you may feel, I wish I were there. And I know you will. I know you do. There are some who truly need to be at home in their apartments or homes, wherever you are. And this is not to exclude you from this gathering. That's why we have this webcast, so we can include you to be part of it. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 18, it says, when you come together as a church, just again emphasizing that God wants us to be part of a body that comes together and we see each other face to face as often as we can on the Sabbath days. When you come together in one place, just emphasizing what we see in Hebrews, that it's a place that's a place of our gathering. So 60 years ago, my friend, was so conscientious about his own attendance of every Sabbath and every holy day that he considered others too. I want to keep going back to him because it's going to illustrate that story of one man's service can illustrate something very important for us. He considered others, like it tells us to do, consider one another. And what he did for us was to help us attend when we would otherwise have not been able. And he didn't want to leave us out. It's only now and lately when I can look back and see what God was doing through that man. Where would I be now if I had not been able to attend all those Sabbath days and holy days when I was in such an age in my life when I needed this truth, when I needed to be learning those things, and I could only learn them by being at church, being with other people of faith. Our friend was doing what these verses teach us to do. I'd like to just take a moment and acknowledge and praise and give thanks for and to and encouragement to some among us here who are doing exactly these same things. Stirring up love and good works is still going on, isn't it? Among us, there are several who give rides to others. We have some sitting with us today who brought with them other people so that they could be with us today. This is important work. This is something that changes lives. This is something that God says we should do, to stir up love and good works. Because in doing this, it helps the congregation to be stronger. It helps people to be able to be together and to receive fellowship who otherwise wouldn't be able to. But it's more than just the ones who give rides. It's those who ride with them. They're giving someone else the opportunity to serve, and those people need it. And it's a very good reciprocal blessing, mutual. But there are more, brethren. Every Sabbath, every time we get together, there are people who come early. There are people who come and open the buildings and set up and put the technology together and see that it's working. And if there's a problem, they fix it, they solve it. The things that they're doing that help not only those of us in the room, but those at home. It's such a good thing to stir up love and good works, to be able to be there every Sabbath, because if they weren't, then we would all drive up here and the door would be locked, and we might just have to have outdoor Sabbath again. You know, that's actually happened before. And you just make do with it when it does. There are people who come every Sabbath and help set up the tables and serve food and clean up afterwards, making the Sabbath such a blessing to us all. These are things that stir up love and good works. By showing love, by showing good works, then others are encouraged and others come. There are people who bring flowers. This was not my idea a few years ago when COVID came, you know, that terrible thing that we all went through. And we weren't able to be together. And Barbara called and said, you know, could she send a picture of flowers? And so it started. And it was going on long, long before that. I know for many years, some of you ladies have been bringing flowers. But I realized what an important thing it was then. To be able to let someone serve by helping us all to see, beautiful flowers on a Sabbath day. It makes the Sabbath better. These are things to really appreciate and to acknowledge. It's good works. It bears good fruit. It helps us. It helps the Sabbath day. It helps us to worship God better. In Sabbath school, there are ladies, there are men who in the past have taught the young ones on the Sabbath day, and so many other ways that people serve. I just want to acknowledge it because it's in the scripture. And it's these things that when we come together, when we assemble, these are the things that happen. This is what God wants to happen. And let me just step aside, and so I'm not drawing attention to myself, but say to the rest of the speakers who prepare the messages, and the time it takes, and the prayer, and the thought, and the preparation, and the delivery, and the things that we appreciate and help us to worship God, reading His Word, learning from His Word together, because someone took the time and under inspiration of God was able to bring something good that we all needed. That's ultimately the reason we come to services. And song leaders. I'll tell the story about Edward. I said I would. Lynn said, stop in the middle and tell another story. Okay, another story. A few years ago, we were here in Olympia, and I believe it was after services, we had a teen Bible study. At the time, there were several more teens who were in the area here, and so we had a teen Bible study out in the park. And at the end of the study, Edward said that he would like to help. What can I do? He'd already stepped in a little bit and was helping with some of the technology, but he asked directly, what can I do? And I said, well, what would you want to do? He said, I'd like to learn to lead songs. Well, he's leading songs now. It's good. But it takes effort like this, brother. It takes seeing an example, considering the need, saying, I could do that. That's a good work that I could do. I could help. Let me help. And it brings good. It brings good things to all of us. He's on our speaking schedule, too. Gives 4-minute sermonettes. Well, I think they're up to 12 minutes now. But the point is this. These are things that build and grow in a church area. Somebody does a good work and someone else sees it. And someone is stirred to do good work, stirred to love. And God's church grows stronger and healthier. It says here in verse 25, it says as the manner of some is, different message, different group of people, but it says, but exhorting one another. This word exhorting, in the Greek word is parakaleo. It means to call aside, to say, come and let me teach you. Or to call aside, will you teach me? Will you help me to learn to serve? It's an appeal by way of exhortation, by entreaty, by doing something comforting or instructive. These are notes from the Companion Bible that I'd like to look at. When I want to know the meanings of some of these words, I go to sources that explain them so much better to me. In Vines, it's referred to this way, to call on. It's like friends sitting together. Let me call on you means let me go visit you. Let me sit with you in a conversation. To call on, to entreat, to urge one to pursue some course of conduct. Always looking to the future. In contrast to the meaning of comfort, which is retrospective. Now, that was interesting. When I was reading that, exhorting, encouraging is forward-looking, and being comforted is for the things that have already happened. Being comforted is from God. We need that, but we also need encouragement to go on in our lives. You know, in the comforting section, you could read in 2 Corinthians, so I just want to read that because we'll all find ourselves in this special need as well. In 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 and 4, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation." See, that's things that have happened. That's things that are happening now that are not so good. There's trials, tribulations. He comforts us when we have things that we're dealing with that have already happened, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So that's a special gift that is given from God to us to share with others. Comforting, but encouragement, exhorting is something that is saying, go forward, step up, step forward and do things. And an example of this is in 1 Thessalonians. You turn there and look and see this example. In verse 9, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9 through 11. "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him." And together is being as in the assembly. When we come together, we are also always together with him. "Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as also you also are doing." So we have that part of it. And so this is a very helpful thing to see that. But exhorting is looking forward. And so he says that. "But exhorting one another, stirring to love and to good works." And it says then in chapter 10 and verse 25 of Hebrews, "And so much the more as you see the day approaching." This is the key takeaway for this whole sermon message. "And so much the more." Brethren, this passage is showing us that this is something that we all need to do so much. As time goes on, as we see that day approaching, and here we are coming again to the time when the feast is coming up, the time that foreshadows the coming of Jesus Christ. This is what I want you to take home with you and to think about, to step up in these areas in every way you can. As the need becomes more urgent, as we see that day approaching, we're more engaged in stirring up love and good works with one another. Christ wants us to be diligent in this way and exhorting, encouraging, and helping others. A lot of that happens when we assemble together. So here's an example of how this is being done among a team of you, our local brethren. The Feast of Tabernacles is coming up. And there are some among us who would not be able to attend the feast if they had to go far away, who would not be able to go a great distance. For some, there are other reasons that they would not be able to travel very well at all, wouldn't be able to attend the feast at all. We want them to be encouraged too. And so as a team of you, we came together, the idea was presented, could we do this? We sought help, we sought advice, we prayed, we did things together to help something happen. And so we're able to host a local Feast of Tabernacles site. With permission of the Home Office, our second year doing this now, so that more of you, more of us, more of God's people are able to do what he exhorts us to keep doing, is to assemble together. Because we don't want anyone to be left behind. We don't want anyone who could possibly go to the feast to miss it. And so this is a big effort that I just want to say thank you in advance to the whole team doing this, for what you are doing to help others to make it possible for some to assemble together. It says, as you see that day approaching, and so every year we see the calendar stepping forward day by day by day, and we're now just less than a month away, and that day is approaching. And so the team is working to prepare. We're making plans. We're getting ready. And it takes a lot of us to do this. We're talking with one another and helping and encouraging. Say, what do you need in the area where you'll be serving? We have technology coming. We have speakers coming. We have people who are arranging for rides to the church, to the feast, for some who would otherwise not be able to attend at all. And so we have many different ways that people are stepping up. And it's something that I'm just so happy about and so grateful for. And I just want to say thank you to everybody, because what you're doing is making a difference in the lives of people. As you see that day approaching, I want to back that up and think about it a little bit. When I was 12, the day was approaching when I would be making decisions about my faith. And a bachelor knew that he needed to help my family, and he did. The day was approaching when decisions would be made, would I stay in the church or not? And he wanted me to have every opportunity I could, and so he took me to church, along with all the rest of my family. And I'm so grateful for that. Parents see this when their children, before their children are born. I think every parent who's a member in the Church of God, who believes and has faith, has something in their heart like Abraham did in his. And last week, I was reading at the outdoor Sabbath. I had the opportunity to speak. And in preparation for that, I found this passage about Abraham in Genesis 19. Let's see, I jumped ahead in my notes. I think it's Genesis 18, excuse me. In Genesis 18, verse 17, it says, the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing, his plans for the future? He said, since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. God knew that there would be great things that Abraham would do, and the blessings would still be given to us through him. He says, for I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. That's such a great passage about a man whose son was not yet born. And the Lord is saying, I know that he will teach his son. He saw the day approaching, and so much the more he readied himself to do what was right and good. And the rest of his life he lived teaching his son to follow God as well. There's so many verses we can put with this, brethren. When we go to the feast, where are we going? When we think about it, we talked about assembling means going to a place, going before God, going together. Look in Hebrews 12, verse 22 and 24. says, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God. I think we could apply this every single Sabbath day when we come together, and every feast and holy day that we are assembled before God. You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, the gathered group of people and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. This general assembly, the words for that in Greek means festal gathering. The general assembly, the festal gathering of God's people. What a beautiful way of seeing it in the scripture. We come before him in such a wonderful setting as that. An assembly of the people. In contrast, it says, to the council of the national leaders. It's us who gather before God, his people. It's not the national leaders. It's not the elite who go, leaving all the rest of us at home. It's us who come together as his gathering, his family, the people who gather to honor God. When do we see the day approaching? I'm going to talk just a little about this. When do you see the day approaching? When is it important to be exhorting one another to assemble together? When? We see in Abraham's case, it was before Isaac was born. We see in our children, the other children growing up, going to school, going to camp. It's important that they know these things, important that they experience them and be together. And what a great blessing it is to see the families here who do this. And your children go to camp and you take them to the Feast of Tabernacles and they do amazing things. They do great things together. We do this for our children. It says in Deuteronomy, in a couple places in chapter 4, it says, gather the people to me, to God, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth. So these are things that are important for the children as well. Last evening, I was working on the message, and about this point in my notes, I received a phone call from someone who had a question about Isaiah. Turn to Isaiah. You'll see what someone of one of us was studying last night. And as we were talking, I was smiling and just thanking God for bringing this to my mind. A good question that came at the right time for me. In Isaiah 58, and tie this in with what we've been reading in Hebrews about stirring up love and good works. In Isaiah 58, verse 6 to 7, is it not the fast that I have chosen? Someone was studying about fasting, perhaps the Day of Atonement. The fast that he has chosen to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens. These are good works. These are things that someone would do who loves someone else. To let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out, to bring to your house so they're gathered with you, together with you? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh, from your own family, from your own relatives, your own friends. He says, then your light shall break forth like the morning, and your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. These are things that kind of tie in with what we're studying about in Hebrews, to help these, help each other in these ways, and God is so pleased with that. When that day draws near, when there are more, when there are some among us who are struggling a bit financially and not able to afford to travel, even to Sabbath services, I want to mention this because this is also good works that are being done to help other people. God has set up a way for those who are in need to be able to have some help to attend the Feast of Tabernacles. He helps us. He said, don't forget the widow and the stranger and the fatherless. And so it's something we do and have for many years in the church. What a blessing that is. And it brings people together, and it does it in such a way of dignity and help and love. There are those among us who need help like that. And one of our members was being assisted financially to attend the feast and had saved up some money so that they could go on their own, a little bit at least. But something happened and an additional amount was made available to them. And so this money that was out of Social Security, so it wasn't something that would be something that you would tithe on. The money she had put aside little by little by little through the year, she said, I can use some of that money to go to church. She said something that ties back with Hebrews chapter 10 again. She said, the internet is good, but it's not the same. A church, we can talk about the messages and how fellowship and being together is important. And someone who doesn't often get a chance to come was mentioning that great desire to be able to come, and now a way was being opened for that to happen. That's what we want, brethren, that people have that love stirred up to good works where they don't want to miss being here with you before God. And I see that as very encouraging. There's a special time in our lives when that day approaches. When we grow older, when our years are short, and our days are short on this earth. As the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 13, verse 11, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. So, brethren, it's one of the best things we can do to people. And what a blessing it is that is happening consistently and so well. The people who need help to attend services are able to be here, to have these precious times to be together, exhorting and encouraging friends to assemble with one another as often as possible on the weekly Sabbaths and at the feast. There's so many verses we could look at through the words of God that remind us of these things. I do want to read in Psalm 50. In Psalm 50, verse 4 through 6, he shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth that he may judge the people. Gather my saints together to me. This is what God wants. Gather my saints together. And every Sabbath day we can do this. Those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice, let the heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Let the heavens declare his righteousness, it says. If you've been reading the messages that Mr. Shaby has been writing in the Home Office Weekly Update the last couple, 3 weeks, you might have seen this note, and I'll just kind of finish with this. because we see this the same thing I'm talking about now as being written by the president of United Church of God to us all. He said last week, "The autumn festival season is here in just a month. On the Sabbath of September 16th, God's people around the world will assemble before him as we observe and reflect on the meaning of the Feast of Trumpets. As that feast approaches, we are reminded of the triumphant return of Jesus Christ as we see that day approaching, revealing of the sons of God at the first resurrection and at the end of this current evil age, which will usher in the peaceful, joyous, righteous millennial reign of Jesus Christ." And he said, "Brethren, use this next month between now and the Feast of Trumpets to become spiritually ready to observe these upcoming holy days in the manner in which God commands, more than ever determined to grow closer to God." We could just add to that what it says in Hebrews, to stir up love and good works. And so, brethren, let's all be doing exactly what we see there in Hebrews, exhorting, encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching.